welcome to the Monster Vine podcast. I am your editor-in-chief, William Saw, and joining us for our E3 2015 edition is Austin Adamson, our senior editor.
Hey!
And Diego Escala, our reviews editor. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Yeah, you know, recovering.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of recovering this weekend.
Yeah, just good to be off my feet for a couple days and just relax for a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a crazy week for both of us at the show. Got to see a lot of video games, but I guess overall atmosphere wise, it's probably my favorite of the favorite E3 so far. What about you, Austin?
Yeah, it's just the games, man. All of the games that were brought and announced and just surrounded this show have been kind of bigger and more powerful than any year I can remember. It's been really exciting.
And Diego, since you were watching it online and all that, you got to see all the reactions. How was that?
I mean, I think the thing that really made this E3 just like so big was like probably 100% Sony dropping those three bombshells. Like, if it wasn't for those three things, I don't think the reaction would be as crazy, because that's all anyone's been talking about, those three games, right?
Yeah, they were playing on people's nostalgia, it seems like. They knew which of the weapons to bring out.
Yeah. They basically pulled a Nintendo from, 2 years ago when the Wii U was just coming out?
Yeah, I think they did it better than Nintendo has in recent years, that's for sure.
Austin, you were actually at the Sony press conference.
Yeah,
so what was like the biggest reaction out of that?
You know, I think it was just a non-stop like jaws stuck open for most of the show. Like, they opened with The Last Guardian, like they opened with the show with a showstopper like that. My reaction was, man, if they're starting with The Last Guardian, what else is going to be in this? And sure enough, there were some talks, I guess some leaked documents or, you know, rumors leading up to the show that we'd get Final Fantasy VII Remake, and Shenmue 3 was teased ever so subtly as well, but just the crowd reaction, I thought some people were gonna like break down into tears, just screaming and yeah, people were standing up and cheering. It was weird. I mean, I personally don't have much of a connection with any of those three games, but I understand why people go crazy for them and that it is a big deal, but it just didn't hit me in the same way as some of these people in the Sony audience.
I think it's
because what was that?
Because this is like kind of fan fiction. Like, these are games that everyone talks about, but you don't really know if they're actually coming out.
Like, yeah, these go on the wish list. Like, which games do you hope to see at E3 this year? And it's always something like Final Fantasy VII Remade or Shenmue 3. And usually there's just no chance. And to see these both get announced, and then to see that The Last Guardian is still around, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of an interesting take, because I guess overall themes-wise, there was a lot of Japanese representation at E3 this year than previous shows. I guess mainly how like Platinum is dipping their hands into every like console. Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo all have a platinum game being worked on.
And yeah, they're doing what? Star Fox Zero.
Star Fox Zero campaign.
Right. What else? What are they doing for Microsoft?
Are they actually working on the campaign? I thought they were just doing art design.
We'll have to check back on that. But for Microsoft, they're working on Scalebound.
Which was absent from the show, but still being worked on. That's right.
And Sony's getting Nier as an exclusive with the Juice Square Enix. So.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, Platinum and then the new Transformers games that was leaked.
Right.
Which wasn't actually looking too bad.
Yeah, I really like the art style, and I wasn't a big fan, again, of like the animated series, but it's pretty cool that they're getting a lot of the original cast and kind of really styling the game after some of the older content from the Transformers series.
Yeah, I do remember that demo kind of fondly, because the voice acting that they brought in was like very notable. People who like voiced the original Transformers cartoons.
Yeah, it's really cool. I always love when different mediums can cross contaminate with actors and writers to give a much more cohesive universe and just a better feeling franchise altogether. But yeah, Japanese developers did make an appearance even on Microsoft stage with that big ReCore announcement. Getting Inafune on there with the Metroid Prime creators is pretty surprising. That one caught me off guard. Just to see a big Japanese developer on a Microsoft stage and doing something new and hopefully good. it looks interesting, the ReCore game. So I got high hopes for it.
Well, you actually got a picture with Inafune.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was at an Xbox event, and they were there just kind of mingling with fans, and I put on a goofy face, and the ReCore team that was with them, like, you know, some people from Japan and some people from America just started laughing at our goofy smiles, and yeah, it was just a pleasure to meet them and kind of just say hi.
Diego, did you see any like notable Japanese studios coming out with games that you're interested in?
I mean, pretty much almost everything they came out with was something interesting to me. I mean, there were just like, this was one year where almost every game that was shown was something interesting. Like, I didn't see anything that I was like, that looks like garbage. Besides, like, that Metroid game Nintendo showed.
Well, maybe we shouldn't even talk about Nintendo. Nintendo's kind of lackluster all the way around. Like, if we want to go kind of like, well, Sony and Microsoft had impressive Japanese developers, the kind of projects coming out of Nintendo, you know, they had what, Mario Maker and Mario RPG that looked interesting to me. I guess Star Fox to some extent, but it looks just like another Star Fox game.
Yeah, I was really disappointed in that, because I saw it and then I was like, "How did this barely looks any different from Star Fox 64?"
Yeah,
gameplay wise.
They definitely, I think, want to evoke that feeling of, "Hey, remember Star Fox 64 that you loved?" But I think we're going to have to see a lot more versatility in the gameplay. Like, Star Fox 64, you could kind of plow your way through in a half an hour if you're good at it. like even on your first try, if you're just pretty good at games, it's not difficult. The mechanics aren't too challenging.
Knowing
so.
Nintendo, it's probably going to be super short. They're probably going to say length doesn't matter, fun matters.
Sure. Yeah.
Did they really just show off just the campaign or the multiplayer aspects?
It was campaign.
Yeah, it was just campaign.
They showed off the little tank thing and then the Raptor mode and then the spaceship mode. I don't know. I thought the tank and the Raptor looked kind of dumb. Reminded me of the GameCube version.
Oh yeah, I never and played that.
That
one.
Wasn't. That's not a good thing to remind people of.
Yeah. No. You know, Nintendo plays by their own rules. You know, they don't have an official press conference here at the show anymore. And I remember in some years they even like save their bigger announcements for a couple weeks after E3. So hopefully, you know, they were only talking about games coming out this year and early part of next year. So hopefully we see some big announcements for, I don't know, summer of 2016.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at in comparison to Sony or Microsoft, they just didn't have the impact that they had. But I really felt like Nintendo could have just announced whatever for 2016, and I would have been more impressed than, I guess, what's slated to come out this year or next year or early next year.
Yeah, Microsoft and Sony started. You know, Microsoft started strong. Sony kept it going, and then Nintendo really, really dropped the ball. And it's kind of like they're losing their position as, you know, the one of the big three at E3.
Well, hopefully next year when they announce their new console.
Right. Yeah. The NX. Hopefully it blows us all away.
Oh, great. I guess another thing I saw just overall, like, themes of E3 was there's a lot of women representation in video games. I guess for, like, Tomb Raider, the new Mirror's Edge, Horizon was one that really just, like, captured my attention because it was, like, the post-apocalyptic video game. So it's just weird seeing that kind of, like, art aesthetic being a AAA game. But that was, there's a lot of diversity coming to video games, more so than previous years.
Yeah, the big publishers and are kind of like answering the call that from female gamers or from just fans of the interactive medium in general, kind of letting you choose your gender of the protagonist or even kind of telling a story from a female perspective. It's refreshing to see a new outlook. We saw even ReCore on Microsoft stage was just a girl and her dog, her robot dog, kind of raiding tombs maybe or looking for treasure, not sure, but it's going to be interesting. And even where was that at Bethesda's press conference, we saw the new Dishonored, which will let you play as a female, and they even had their demo with a woman, which is interesting. I wonder if they're trying to just please the fans, or if they're trying to just diversify the stories that they're telling.
I think it's definitely time for the medium to just not be like dude bros shooting, I guess, in the forefront anymore. I think it does give a little bit more of a flavor having, seen from the female or woman's perspective of like that kind of story, crafted story around that.
Yeah, as long as they deliver on it and it's not just, like, good PR, like, the, you know, as long as they're actually putting an effort into making these meaningful differences. And because we've been seeing games like this, you know, in the indie scene for since indie games started, and it's refreshing to see some of the bigger publishers follow suit.
Yeah, I was definitely impressed by that. I guess another big trend this E3 was a lot of the virtual reality devices that were being shown off on the show floor. I know the Oculus had a really big booth, and then Austin and I were at the Walking Dead premiere party where Starbreeze announced their own VR device. What did you think of that?
That really caught me off guard. I guess Starbreeze is big enough, and they bought or paid for a company to develop their VR tech, but it's good. Like, you know, the more competition, the better, as long as they're, you know, putting in a good effort and trying to make a decent product and not just cash in on the kind of craze that's going on with VR. But yeah, Star VR kind of, they showed like one of their demos was kind of like a on-rail shooter where you're seated and you're wearing the headset, which is a 5K resolution and something like a 210 degree viewing angle, which is probably looks great. I didn't get to see it myself. But then they had a fake shotgun with kind of visual sensors on it so that the headset could interpret where you're pointing the gun and kind of react accordingly. And that kind of VR is very interesting and I think will be the most impactful on player experiences. Bringing like real-world objects or controls and blurring the lines between, the physical space and the virtual one. Kind of like what Oculus is trying to do with their Half Moon touch controllers or whatever they're calling those. And also kind of what Microsoft is doing with HoloLens, just, you know, going in the augmented reality instead of just completely virtual. Kind of, it's easier to control the environment and to trick the mind into thinking the experience is real when you're grounding the experience in reality.
Yeah, I thought Microsoft had that really impressive Minecraft showing.
Yeah.
It's really ridiculous, but if that's going to be the future, I mean, like, I guess cost factor wise, is this something that's a viable thing to purchase? I guess
as long as we don't have to buy all of them, I don't know. Does this interest you? Are you gonna grab one of these things?
Like, I was considering grabbing one when Oculus first was revealed, but like now I feel like the market's already oversaturated with these products before we even have an actual product on the market, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone's got one coming out, so it's like, well, which one should I get now?
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't fragment the like development process, and hopefully like developers are kind of able to bring their creations to multiple platforms with ease. Otherwise, yeah, we're going to see just a weird broken launch of VR, and it might not stick around for long if that's the case.
Yeah, like it might have like a Guitar Hero Rock Band situation, but much right. earlier.
Yeah, that's a good point. Something like that where, yeah, you're either one or the other, and then they're competing, and then everyone has all these fake plastic headsets and helmets everywhere, and then no one's got the right games or the right experiences, and yeah.
It's cool that Starbreeze got into it, but I don't see why they got into it.
You know, they must have their their vision. You know, all these developers have been talking about how exciting it is to work with VR and, you know, to make their worlds and their visions a more kind of in-depth experience and in a way that they haven't been able to share previously. So maybe they're just excited for that and they thought, hey, we can do this better. I don't know. I mean, Oculus...
I figured maybe they partner up with a...
Yeah.
If they had partner up with Oculus or something, saying, hey, we have an idea that would be really cool, maybe we should get together, instead of saying, oh, let's just make our own headset and totally pull a THQ.
Right. The you draw type scenario. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe Microsoft is doing the smart thing then. They've announced their partnerships with, you know, Oculus, bundling a controller, an Xbox One controller, and they have their Steam VR partnership, which who knows what that actually means, but, you know, they're going to help get VR working for Steam on Windows, which makes sense since they're a platform holder, but then they're also working on their HoloLens. Yeah. So it seems like they're trying new things, but also kind of supporting all the others. And so that... I hope that works out.
Yeah. The optimist in me hopes that they're just super friendly and generous and they're just supporting everyone. But deep down, I know that they're doing this for some reason. I'm trying to figure out why they would possibly help out two of their competitors.
Maybe they just don't see them as competitors. I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know, but why help them out if they don't intend to make more money from it?
Well, maybe because, you know, if they make Windows 10 the premier operating system for VR, that people will stick to Windows. I don't know, because if you're gaming, you're mostly gonna be gaming on Windows anyway. Yeah, so
that's a different part of Microsoft, though. That's not connected with the part that's the Xbox part. That's probably
but they're trying. I think they're trying to connect a little more with that. I mean, we had Phil Spencer on the PC gaming press conference, trying to tout Microsoft is gonna try and make PC gaming relevant, in their world. Because he said in the past, they've dropped the ball and not given PCs the attention that they deserve. So I don't know. Maybe they're games for Windows Live. It's a rocky past for them. But
yeah,
VR, well, man.
VR is the future, I guess.
VR AR. just give me that. Altered, augmented, virtual reality.
I know. I want that. I want gamer to be a real thing.
Well, yeah.
I mean, yeah. That. I mean, for the state of virtual reality, that's how it is right now. I guess none of these things are marketed to. For release just yet. I didn't see anything about a release date on any of these.
Well, they're coming out soon. I think
Oculus is next year, right?
Yeah, they're coming out less than a year. Some of these are less than a year away, and it's scary that we don't know more about them or haven't seen anything much marketing. They didn't give it much stage time, which I get because it's difficult to demo virtual reality.
Yeah.
Microsoft definitely had it easier with their augmented reality. They had a real good setup and were able to show that off. And from what I've heard, it works just as well as advertised, which is great.
Yeah.
But less than a year.
It was really smart of them to market that, show it off with Minecraft, though. Because, my little brother, he saw the conference and, immediately he wants that.
Right, yeah. Well, we might even see more next month, I guess, at that MineCon in Europe. and
that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So we got through all of our like just kind of big things that are bubbling out of E3. Like I guess in terms of the game showcase that was presented throughout the week, Bethesda started off E3 week with basically the big reveal of Fallout 4 and a couple of their slated lineup of games coming out this year in 2016. What do you guys think of Fallout 4?
I only saw the building part.
Oh, man, you gotta check it out. Fallout 4, like, prior to it, they did that trailer that they, I think it was the week before or something, and I was, you know, I was like, okay, that looks good, you know, it's Fallout, looks like fun, I'll probably play it. I wasn't too big on Fallout 3, I liked it, I just I played through it once and that was it. And then when they did this bigger reveal, more of an in-depth look, you know, the Sunday before E3, it kind of just, it got me really excited, just to be in that world and the different customization of all your weapons and your base and just kind of the aesthetics of that world. And I want to play it. I'm ready. I'm glad it's coming out this year. I didn't think they were going to announce it for this year. I thought it was going to be a Q1, Q2, 2016, but we got it.
Yeah. I believe I was surprised it was like very, you know, it was that far along in development that they were confident about releasing it this year. It seems like, I guess that break between Skyrim and Fallout 3, they had a good amount of time to really like flesh out the game world, like all that crafting, building your own settlements and defending them was like something that took really, sounds like it took like really long to like build that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprised to see that they're putting this out before Doom, which is coming out in 2016. But they also announced that modding support is going to be coming to consoles, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's about time. You know, since these consoles are basically, you know, PCs anyway, let's get that those weird community mods out to everyone and not charge for them. And yeah, I think as long as the game doesn't launch severely broken, everyone will be
really happy. Bethesda launches like unbroken games, right? So maybe they'll continue that trend.
Yeah, except for the PlayStation 3 versions. But
I still have PTSD from Skyrim.
Yeah, I heard a lot of bad.
It was real bad.
So a lot of bad things about that. Like, I'm glad I missed it. But
maybe now that the PS4 is like a much easier to work with console.
Right. Yeah. That's what they've been saying.
It seems like lots of developers are now switching to the PlayStation 4 as the lead console to develop on.
Right, yeah.
So now it'll be, at least the two versions seem like they'll be a little more equal this time around.
Yeah, I hope that's the case.
Yeah. I guess another big announcement, because Austin, you had camped out like all night for the Xbox fan festing, and you ended up going to Microsoft press conference, and you had mentioned the kind of the big thing that came out of that was backwards compatibility for Xbox.
Yeah, that came out of left field for me. Like Phil Spencer was just talking about, like, you know, we listened to the community, and one of the biggest requests we didn't think was possible, but here it is. And then he announced backwards compatibility, and just that was kind of like the thing on the Xbox side where everyone just lost it. Like, people were jumping up and down, like screaming and cheering, and you could barely hear what he had to say next or more details about it. Because, yeah, that's, you know, personally, it's not too big of a deal for me because I have my 360 and it's easy to hook up if it's not already hooked up. So I'm not worried about it, but I think that's a really smart move that they put resources into accomplishing that kind of. It sounds like it's an emulation. They're emulating the entire like 360 on the Xbox One, and making it really easy for developers to kind of be like, "Yep, we're gonna just say you can go ahead and put our game on the Xbox One, and then to integrate everything like, you know, game streaming and screenshots and all that kind of like." So it's even like a better experience than it was on the 360. I think it's really smart, and they're going to need more stuff like that if they're going to try and sway new console owners to their side versus PlayStation.
Yeah.
I guess my thoughts on backwards compatibility is that some of the, like the Xbox 360 games were multiplayer games, like Gears of War. Is that going to be still in effect when you... on Xbox One.
Yeah, it's full backwards compatible. Like they said, you're playing. I don't know. You're playing Gears 3, and you want to play multiplayer. You can play with your friends on 360. You can do party chat with your friends on 360. They are emulating the 360 1-to-1 is what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. And they just have to do like a little bit of QA, like individual kind of tweaking to each game, but yeah, it's pretty impressive that they're doing it. It may be a little late, but it's still refreshing to see that, you know, they're listening to the community and responding in that kind of way.
I mean, it has been like a 2-year gap since the Xbox One did release, so like if it had come earlier, it would have been more great, but it's still great to have now, because a lot of, I guess, 360 owners are still... This would entice them to go to the Xbox One because of this, right?
Yeah, I think so. And especially, like, I don't know, with games like the new Rock Band and, you know, Black Ops coming back and the new Halo, like, they'll be able to just kind of bring a lot of their games over, you know, the 360 games, and if they want their Rock Band, I know has the DLC compatibility for Rock Band 4, so yeah, I think it's a smart move to try and entice people that might not have bought an Xbox One or a PS4, kind of to lean them in the direction of Xbox.
Alright. I guess now we can go on to the actual games that we were able to play at E3 2015. A lot of our meetings were very closed door. A lot of them this year were just hands-off presentations. But
yeah,
of the games, Austin, that you played, what stood out for you?
Oh, so for me, it was Destiny. it's kind of like hooked into my brain. I know it was rough and lacking a ton of content at launch, but I'm actually pleased in how it's playing now and the direction they're taking it with the Taken King. So I got hands-on with two of the new competitive multiplayer modes, Rift and Mayhem, and I got to play all three of the new subclasses. It's, you might not be sound too exciting, but the subclasses are kind of going to change the way that at least the PvP dynamic is laid out. Like there's, you know, the hunter has this void bow that it can do some damage. You can kill someone with it, but it's more of like a kind of like a defense or support class. Where if you get the arrow in the ground around any enemy, it tethers them, slows them, and kind of denies their super. So it's a pretty powerful like zone control, and the Titan, you know, you're throwing around hammers like Thor and the Warlock subclass. You're basically Emperor Palpatine or whatever his name is from Star Wars with the lightning hands, and they're changing stuff for the better. And the Taken King looks pretty good, so I think I'm gonna play that a lot this year.
I mean, it's coming out like pretty soon too, right? September.
Yeah, September something. I don't know when, but yeah, kind of. They say it's gonna be bigger than Vanilla Destiny was, so.
Right.
Not that that would be very difficult, since there wasn't much to that. But the new raid, like they have being worked on, kind of. They're like, from what I've heard, when Vanilla Destiny came out, the raid team, like during development, the raid team was very much separated from the rest of the development team. So none of those kind of interesting and dynamic mechanics made its way into, like, the story missions or kind of any of the other strikes. So this time the teams are much more integrated, and it sounds like they're working to make for more interesting and dynamic gameplay versus just go here, have Peter Dinklage talk to you, shoot some stuff.
Is he returning for the new expansion? Do you know?
I have not heard if he will be back.
I hope not.
Sounds like a one and done.
Yeah, maybe. A lot of the other like voice actors they brought on for like the new expansions, like the House of Wolves and the Crota's End or whatever, they're really good. Like, I think one of the voice actresses from the first expansion will be back. So I don't know about the Dinklage. I don't know. Destiny.
Destiny. Any other games besides Destiny that you had?
So I played Ubisoft's version of Destiny, The Division.
How was that?
It is a lot like Destiny, kind of. It's not really, but you know, it's the same core ideas. You know, it's an RPG shooter. It's got that kind of like multiplayer that blends in. Like you'll be out in the overworld doing your missions, and you'll run into other people in the division that you can interact with. There's just a really cool, like, kind of betrayal mechanic. I don't know if it's going to be cool in reality, but the demo they showed in the demo I played, you go into these darkness zones, and you have an objective to get this loot or something, and you're on a squad of two or three. And you're fighting, you know, computer-controlled enemies, whatever, you're getting the loot. And then all of a sudden, another crew rolls up on you. And you can choose not to shoot them, and you guys can work together and defeat the AI, you know, AI guys. Or you can decide to just betray them and kind of murder them and try and take their loot. and so that's kind of what my demo experience just became, was me and the guy on my team trying to kill all the other player-controlled teams and get as much loot as possible.
Huh. It's kind of like that heist factor, but...
Yeah. I think it can be cool. Kind of like... I mean, I would do similar things in the Halo franchise, even though it wasn't designed for that. So I like that aspect of, you know, like, in Halo, we would be playing big team battle, and I'd see my team coming with a Warthog. This would be Halo 3, and I'd throw, you know, a rocket or a trip mine or something, and just destroy the Warthog, grab the flag and capture it for myself, kind of thing, you know, like that aspect, right, of destroy your team and take all the glory can be appealing, but I think it's going to be hard to execute on that in a way that just doesn't infuriate everyone and destroy friendships.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The shooting didn't feel as good as Destiny. That's one thing I did notice. It was maybe the weapons I had just weren't ideal for the situation I was in, but yeah, it's going to take some getting used to, and maybe some refinement on their part before it launches.
So any games besides Destiny or games like Destiny that you had enjoyed?
I didn't play a whole lot. Like I said, a lot of hands-off demos.
That's why I wasn't really discussing my experience, because most of my time was spent in meeting rooms with hands-off presentations. Some guy just walking me through a demo, and that's a lot of what my preview content will be about.
Right. Like
these hands-off things, but I did get to try out them. I was at the Versus Evil booth.
Oh right.
And they had like kind of a FTL meets Mad Max game, Bedlam. It's kind of like also like tile based, so it's reminded me of like Banner Saga. So it's roguelike in that aspect, and your mission is to like get to the bottom of the map, and then in these encounters on your way to it, it's like kind of like Fury Road, if you've seen the new Mad Max movie.
Yeah.
And you go against these like marauders, and like it's like kind of like chess. So you would go, you're limited to a set amount of movements through these tiles, and then also you're limited to the class of the character that you're playing. Like if you're a sniper, you get like certain damage zone points within the tiles to like target your enemies, and then it becomes like a very like tactics based sort of gameplay. But I really enjoyed that out of the games I had played.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Do you know when that's coming out, or did they say?
Hopefully later for release this year.
Okay.
But it's coming along very good.
Great.
So we actually had a chance to play the new Guitar Hero Live. Austin, based off your tweets and like thoughts of it, wasn't too impressed, right?
Well, I think the gameplay, like the whole kind of goofy live action, weird fake concert stuff is really really dumb in a cool way. And I like that aspect of the game, but everything kind of surrounding that, or at least, because we actually got, what we got to play and look at was Guitar Hero TV, and that's kind of, to me that seems like, hey, we really need to find a different way to make money off this game, how can we do it, let's do it like this, and what Guitar Hero TV is a kind of music video streaming channel that's always playing, kind of like a TV show or you know a TV station would be. So you tune in, you could jump in like right at the middle of the song and you can play right there, and that stuff I guess is free, but then there's all these different ways to spend money, to buy like a song as DLC is not what they want you to do, but you can do that. And also, all of these DLC songs or Guitar Hero TV songs are just music videos. They're not using the master tracks, so if you miss a note, the whole song will get quieter, not just the guitar part. And that's, you know, that's kind of what makes these guitar games special to me, is that hearing your mistake and not hearing the rest of the band's mistake was always kind of integral to that fantasy of being a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I don't know. Mainly the microtransactions, like they haven't announced what their currency is going to cost, but there were plenty of ways to spend it. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how offensive those microtransactions are come launch.
I guess to copy out all those, it's entirely optional to buy these songs.
Yes, yes, it sure is.
So, I mean, you could spend the however many dollars.
$100. $100 gets you the guitar and the game.
Right. And how is the guitar?
I liked it. Like, it's different, and it hurt my head a little bit to kind of wrap it around the two sets of three buttons. I kept wanting to use my pinky, and that messed me up a lot. But I was getting the hang of it after a couple of, maybe a song and a half. I was getting a feel for it, and it's a little confusing not having the colors to reference. They use black and white for the different rows, and then just kind of positional reference for kind of where your finger should be. And it's not as obvious at a first glance, like where, you know, your finger should be and when you should be pushing them. But I think it's just a matter of getting used to. It's not necessarily a bad move. It's just different. And
yeah,
I think
that seemed like that.
Yeah, I think the whole kind of like two fingers on the top row and one finger on the bottom row is not necessarily like you're playing a chord, but it's more in the style of how your fingers would line up when playing the actual guitar, which is, it's an interesting change of design, I guess.
Yeah, and they said they weren't, it because it's entirely new style gameplay, there's not going to be any DLC that from previous Guitar Heroes that would come over, because they had to totally remap all the tracks.
Yeah, it would have to take all new note chords and note tables, that's what they call those, and yeah, so I don't they'll have to do it all from scratch if they want any new DLC in there. Yeah.
Yep. That about sums it for Guitar Hero.
Yeah, yeah.
Diego, was anything from the show that caught your eye, I guess from watching it in streams or online?
Let me think. I mean, I know everyone's loved Doom.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I thought it could have been a little bit faster. I mean, I think some people are exaggerating with it, saying it's too slow. I think it's a little... I think it's a little slower than it should be, but I think it's a good speed. Like, at least a step forward. I thought Wolfenstein looked a bit faster. But, I guess the thing that really caught my eye the most was Just Cause 3, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Like, I cannot get any more excited for that.
Dual grapple hook.
That game. I just want to blow up everything in that game. Man.
And it's coming out really soon, too. Like, December. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. December 1st.
December 1st.
Set the world on fire.
Like, I had my friends and I were talking about it the other day. And, like, he was telling us how he didn't watch any E3 stuff because E3 is just full of hype trailers. And he'd rather just wait for the games
sure.
to come out to play it. And the best part, like, with Just Cause, it's not a hype trailer. It is, like, that the trailer for that game is indicative of how you play. Because the game itself is a hype trailer. You do.
Yeah, man. Oh, that game. It's a good game, a good year for games. 2015, 2016, video games are here.
Yeah.
It's about time, but they're here.
I'm surprised a lot of announced release dates got, or for this year, like the new Hitman, the new Just Cause 3, Fallout 4, the most surprising one, but just, we have a lot of games to play.
Yeah.
Hitman sounds weird.
Oh, yeah, they're persistent, kind of always online hit contracts community shoot stuff thing.
Yeah, like it's like digital only first, and like they're adding contracts to it as they go and then removing them.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting. Yeah,
like it sounds like some sort of early access thing.
It does sound like the new Hitman is more early access, like they'll give you a certain amount of missions to play.
Yeah.
And then they'll keep adding new missions, new contracts, throughout, I guess, later on when they do release more content updates. But it seems like the initial thing will be, I guess, very light on the objectives.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds cool, but I worry if maybe the story itself might not work with what they're trying to do.
Yeah, if they don't have a strong direction or
like
a cohesive design.
Yeah, because like in the older games, like you had these big maps and you had the target and you had all these ways to kill the target. But from the sound of the new one, they have a big map and they're going to be tossing in new targets every once in a while.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really make sense to have multiple targets killed the same exact way, unless they're going to be adding new ways to kill them.
I guess only time will tell.
Yeah, because then it's just, I did this last week.
I just got to find some more sushi to poison for this guy, because he's next to the fish market. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. I'm just hoping it's going to be a lot more open world and linear than what Absolution was in terms of all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, any final thoughts on E3 before we let go?
E3.
It was really good.
There was a lot of video games. I've been attending E3 since 2009, and I think this was the most exciting batch of announcements, even if they didn't personally resonate. I this was a big one, and I'm excited for the next 18 months of gaming that we have lined up. I just got to find more time.
Yeah, and hopefully it won't be so exhausting, but it's my second time back since 2010, and it seems like you leave the show floor at the end of the day just
dead. Just dead. Yeah.
I'm gonna go back home. Could not go out to any E3 parties.
Yeah, there's tons of parties, tons of events, but just that, you need to refresh, you need to kind of relax for a little bit and decompress and do what you can before starting it all over the next day.
Yeah. And hopefully we can have Diego out next year.
Yeah.
For the show.
Yeah. I can cover all the parties for you guys.
Great. Great.
Well, thanks, guys, for joining.
Yeah. Always a pleasure.
Have a great... All right. Have a great happy gaming for the rest of the year, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
All right.
Goodbye.